Do the words sales and selling send cold shivers down your spine? If they do, you're not alone. Many business owners, especially in Australia, have a fear of coming across as being too salesy or pushy when it comes to closing a deal. And I think it's because we personally hate being sold to when we're not interested. But the important thing to remember is that we're all interested in buying when we see the value in something. So if you personally have an amazing solution available, whether it's via treatments, products, consultations, programs, webinars, and more, you have a good reason to sell. But what does selling look like in 2020? Today, I'm chatting with Perry Pappist, who has some very valuable tips to share around selling and turning potential customers into happy paying clients. It's time to stop freaking out over the selling process and tune into this episode. Let's get started. Welcome to the Marketing and Me podcast. If you're eager to grow your health and wellness business via effective marketing methods while maintaining your own health and wellness, this podcast is for you. I'm your host, Leanne Shelton, and I help business owners just like you overcome their fear of failure and find the courage within to step up, show up, and make an impact on the world, while also living a lucrative life and reaching their full potential. I do this through strategic marketing advice and engaging conversational copywriting at Right Time Marketing. So feel free to book in a free 30-minute discovery call with me after listening to today's episode. The details are in the show notes. And today I'm joined by my guest, Perry Pappast. Welcome, Perry.
Thank you for having me, Leanne.
Very welcome. I just realized, is that how you pronounce your surname? Pappast?
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. I've gone under all sorts of things over the years. So Pappist is probably how we pronounce it. Greek heritage, you never know how you could actually say it.
Pappast, Pappast. Okay, so yes.
I love it.
my maiden name is Belenfant, or like Belafonte, like Harry Belafonte. Yes. In Australia, we say Belenfant. My cousin says Belenfante. Overseas says Belenfanti. Yeah, so I've been there.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Love it. So to introduce you to everyone, Perry calls himself a business development optimizer at Automation Traffic, leveraging approximately 30 years of experience with companies like Salesforce, Google, Symantec, etc. Perry's business specializes in business development and sales consultancy. So the core outcome his clients receive is a direct improvement on conversions so their business or team can consistently and repeatedly provide ongoing predictable revenue, something we all like to have. The strategy for each client is tailored specific to their business, so the most relevant blockages or challenges are removed. And just got a really cool stat here. In just 3 years, Perry's clients have created over $287 million in their pipelines, which is just phenomenal. So Perry and I originally connected via LinkedIn. He reached out to me as a potential collaboration partner. Thank you. And I like I usually do on LinkedIn, I've mentioned, I think before, I sent him a voice message to find out more about what he does and thank him for the connection. And then we had a bit of a joke about this. He one-upped me by replying with a little video. This is all via LinkedIn DMs, by the way, which I've never thought of doing, but that was really cool. And just long story short, we quickly formed a great connection and I just knew he'd be a brilliant guest for the podcast. I've actually already picked his brains a little bit with some sales tips offline, and I just know you're going to get a lot of value from this episode. Nice. So what was the name of that app, by the way, for the video?
It was dub.com with a double B, dub.com. And it's a newbie to me because I've used Loom.com several times, and obviously Zoom is where I'm right now. It's quick, it's easy to use. It's got a free version as well, which everyone loves. And it's really simple because you can record on your computer, on your phone. My phone's down there somewhere. So it's a simple way to basically just hold it up. And I do a lot in this office that you see, just quick replies. And it works quite well. In fact, in the last 2 to 3 weeks that I've been doing this properly now, I've had probably somewhere around 80 to 90% of individuals kind of going, geez, that was actually really cool. It's no longer that crap of someone just replying back to me. I can hear you. I can see you. I can kind of get a feel, because I do a lot of engaging with people that don't know me quite well yet, just like you and I started out. So yeah, dub.com.
Yeah, I'm going to try it. I haven't tried it yet, but did you use the free version to create that video or the paid version?
Yeah, there's no limitations except for something. I think it was basically on editing rights, or it was the amount of views and watches that you can see. There's some limitation. So free doesn't seem to have a limitation on number of videos. So yes, I did.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna give it a go next, because I've already had a lot of, like, I get a lot of comments about the voice message because a lot of people don't. But yeah, when you did the video, I'm like, oh, this is like, as I said, that one step up. But yeah, would you? I mean, that's great sales strategy right there. But could you just share a little bit more about your business journey and how you came to where you are today?
And yes, I can. And it's interesting. Sometimes when I get asked this, it's kind of like, Leanne, put your hand up if you think I'm on the waffle, because it's kind of like you're talking about yourself, and it's like you almost think to yourself, where do I start? And it's like, no. I actually will go backwards. Where are we today? So I've always wanted to spin up my own business, and the thought process years ago was have a legacy about me for improving others' lives. Sounds a little bit cliche, almost, pardon the language, wanky kind of thing. And then, of course, there was this aspect of, oh, but if you're spinning up your own business, coin operated, you'll make money. And it's like, that was actually the wrong attitude. And that kind of worked, but it didn't work for several years. The realization was I could share knowledge and make things, and we're going to talk about business development sales today, things more fulfilling for others. And then I make money and they make money too. And it was kind of like an aha moment. Now, why did I get to this point? It was a waking moment of, you've got a crap load of experience. You kind of know stuff, not everything, but you've kind of done it. You've been awarded. You've been recognized. Maybe you can share that with others. And so what actually happened was, I've always liked teaching people. Even years ago when I was working at Salesforce, I was, for a while, a mentor for some of the more junior reps. And I identified bad habits, actions that didn't create the right level of execution. And then in my business, you kind of look for things that you can fix or change the behavior. Or sometimes, because salespeople get everything in their head, the mindset. And so I've kind of looked at it and said, how can we help you apply those ideas professionally? And that's what this business is right now. And that's how I got to it. But as an employee many years ago, it was watching other businesses, a bit like you, Leanne, and kind of going, I could do that too. Didn't know how. And kind of like went through that journey of screwing things up and having to test and measure and improve it. And so what actually happened was that, this is me talking now, but it didn't become apparent, is that that journey of getting to this, where what the business is right now, is, like you said, 25 to 30 years of working with companies like Salesforce, Google, Symantec, and many other organizations, and then going, possibly my ecosystem of working with other egomaniacs and, you know, good sales professionals is, and that was mostly IT companies, is kind of like a little bit of a trade secret. There are other professions, there are other industries, there are other individuals, just like offline I was telling you about my current client, that it's all sales 101. They don't know. So I open my mouth and they kind of like go, oh, that's a good idea. And even the sales thing that I just talked about, Symantec, Salesforce, Google, etc. Previous to that, I was a pre-sales consultant. So I was helping other salespeople with the technical journey, demonstrating and kind of going through the elaboration of how does this solution work. And then I had that waking moment back then, and that is, well, if they can sell, and some of them are good, but some of them weren't that great, I could be that person too. So the journey was kind of like going from techie, liked it but didn't love it, going to engaging as a professional account executive, sales rep, sales director eventually, loving interacting with people, learning, sharing, getting deals done. To be honest with you, it was about, and back then it was probably more brutally coin operator type of individual, to now realizing that if you do and say the right things, people actually want to know more from you, and people love the fact that you're sharing knowledge and insights that is not second nature, is not inherent to them. And then for me, it kind of comes out naturally. And I don't know how this happens, but I sometimes think, oh, I don't know how to answer this question. And all of a sudden it's kind of like, actually I do, because somehow I've been there before. So yeah, it's trying to concatenate all of this in terms of there has been a journey. We're talking quite a long time, but I'm kind of glad where things are. And it's still evolving, like I'm sure things are for you, Leanne. But yeah, it's good right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's so true. Like what you said about, you know, oh, do I know the answer to that? Quite often I get asked a question, and before I know it, the answer is rolling off my tongue. And in my brain, I'm like, wow, it sounds like I know what I'm talking about. Uh-huh. And then I realize actually, and then, you know, the moment, watching their face light up, they're like, wow, that's great. Like you said, and like, oh, wow, I do know something. It's funny you said you went to pre-sales, then sales. I was involved in pre-sales too. So my first job out of uni, for those who don't know, was, in telesales, and learned all these sales skills. And then I moved into pre-sales as my journey towards marketing communication started evolved. And I was in charge of the sales intranet and a ready reckoner and the newsletter and helping with incentives and all that kind of stuff. And it's just funny how I've kind of come full circle now. I'm like, oh, I'm using sales in my business and work. That was with an online business directory, and now I'm working with businesses and all that. Yeah, the journey, everything, every single thing you do, it all kind of sums up and gets you to where you are today. At the time I hate doing these calls. I want to be like a journalist or something. I don't want to be making cold calls. But the experience I got back then of learning how to sell and building those connections with people and problem solving has now been so beneficial to me today. It's just
works very well. Now, you said something a few minutes ago, and I want to just jump in there, because there is, and I share this with some of my clients, because I said before, some of this is actually mindset. And I say to some people, especially some of the junior people where they're employed by the organization, good attitude, drive, good charisma, but they're kind of not on point in terms of developing business. And they sometimes tank the conversations with prospects because it's like they don't approach it correctly, and people kind of like don't feel that, they don't engage, and then they kind of think, oh, I'll just go to another business because maybe I can be serviced elsewhere. And I say to them, it's okay. I do realize that we're on the journey and we're kind of learning. But I said, my part of this is mindset. So you are awesome. Believe in yourself and do one thing. Recognize that you've got to do this often, because cognitively, your brain, your mouth, the way you think will change the more you do this. So I share, it's on YouTube, but it's also on TED, Amy Cuddy, CUDDY. Yeah, I'm glad you're writing it down, and we can put the link either in the notes or I can email it to you. And I can't remember the actual reason for the TED talk. I think it's about your posture is what you are or what you do. But as she goes through the talk, to cut to the chase, she talks about things that are do it, fake it, and you will make it. And initial thoughts were, yeah, I can talk about stuff and people will eventually believe it, and then I've got to deliver it. And it's like, no, you don't do this underhand stuff to people. At the end of the talk, she actually says, do it and you will become it, or words to that effect. And it's actually what I either teach or I share with a lot of people. And that is, if you learn a little bit of the pattern and the execution from someone like me, And then you do it often. What happens all of a sudden is it becomes so second nature that you believe it and you can execute, and then you're teamed by people that can deliver for you. So as long as you can explain it professionally and ethically that we can provide you with an outcome to your challenge or your need, you can take them through the journey and you believe it, and the people will be there with you. Whereas, like, cold calling is a whole podcast in itself, because I do a lot of it. And if your mindset is not right, do not cold call, because people on the other end of the line will go, thanks, but no thanks. Like, so you've got to have this little thing always on point. Yeah. So, yeah, Amy Cuddy, TED Talk.
Awesome. Yes, we will look that up and include in the show notes for sure. I hated the cold calling. I remember, like, because we all a whole bunch of us got trained at the same time and we started at the same time. And I remember that very first day, we're all sitting around and we're looking at each other going, who's going to be the first one to make the call? And just like, get into that mindset. We had to hype each other up and go, come on, all right, let's do it. And then, hang up and go, oh, well, they just hung up with me. And we just go, oh, that's okay, just try again. And I was only in that role for maybe, I think, 10 months or so before I moved more customer service, like business development management type thing. Account management, I think we called it. And I love that a lot more, because it was more like solving their problems with how their listing had gone, and then going, all right, well, tell me more about who you are. All right, let's look at that and this, rather than, you don't know who I am, but you want this, and I've got to tell you why and give you a reason to me. So, our topic today, like sales strategy 101, many small and micro business owners freak out by the word sales, probably predominantly health and wellness people, and they may say, oh, I hate the selling part. But what do the words sales and selling actually mean, like in 2020? I know it's something very different than it was 20, 30 years ago and then some.
So I love the nature of the question. And we all know that in this year, we've had a bunch of different circumstances. We've probably had people that are sometimes emotionally or financially or both in a different place. And some businesses and some industries are doing really well, and others are not. So I'm going to answer this, while it's pertinent because you've asked about this year, what I'm about to say is more pertinent these days than ever before. And probably more because we're both Aussies, probably more for the Australia and New Zealand market. So this is a little bit of my catchphrase. No one likes being sold to, but everyone's a buyer, right? Look at us right now, right? AirPods, Bose headphones, et cetera, et cetera. We buy because there's a need. And I say people buy because they want to take themselves from a certain situation to another situation. I could talk about the analogy of, why do we buy a car? Because the current car is crap. It's not working. It keeps breaking down. It's costing me the earth. I want a better car. Or I've now got a family and the little two-door hatch is kind of like not cutting it. I got to lean in to put the kids into the baby seats. I need an SUV or a proper sedan. The car analogy is an easy one. But when it comes to buying software, buying a professional service, buying some type of health and wellness program. Sorry, I won't be phrasing it correctly. It is, where am I right now, but where would I like to be, and who can help me meet that gap? And so you try to sell to someone, then we think of having something rammed down our throat, and we're going, no, sorry, I've made a mistake, I need to leave, right? Car yard, you walk in, your tire kicking, you're kind of not ready yet, you might have cash, and the guy rumps in, and he thinks you're lunch, and he's kind of like, he really wants to sell you something. It's like, mate, no, I just want to look right now, because I don't know what I want. Now, they're a bit more savvy these days. So that's the first thing, is that we don't like being sold to, but we are buyers at some time. And I say timing is everything. And later on, if you ask me a few other questions, I'll talk a little bit about when that timing actually exists, but not right now. So sales and selling. You'll see this on my LinkedIn profile, and I'll talk about this maybe more than once today. It's better if we turn the word sales into the words business development. And I'll tell you why. And this might be a little bit more of a recent last few years waking moment for me than ever before. Sales in some industries and some circles is taken on with a negative context. It's almost like sales is a dirty word. However, the reality is if our behavior is around business development, which is actually turning those around, developing business, we're building a sustainable longer-term relationship with organizations or people that might become clients or do business with us. People that have gone, I potentially need your product or service, kind of need to ask a few questions. I need to know you, like you, trust you, and kind of work out if you're going to make ends meet for me. And the business development is kind of like saying that you might like this. I'm going to show you a few suggestions. Here's the things that we do really well, and here's the things that probably we're still in the making, or this is what's not for everyone. But the reality is, this is why other clients have purchased. This is what we've been able to achieve with other organizations. And like I said, timing is everything. If the right, and now this next bit comes down to proper sales methodology and sales strategy. If the right things are done at the right times, a person won't be persuaded, but their mind will go, you know what? I've had enough. I need to execute. I need to engage this. I need this now. And so we'll buy.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. And that's why, you know, say marketing is that a long journey, because it's that building that like trust factor. Yeah. And, you know, there was potential client I spoke to just the other day, and I can tell she's a details person, likes to research, and she kind of really, really great chat. She goes, oh, I want to work with you in some shape or form, most likely in the new year. Can you just send me links to all the things that you do, and I'll read through it, and then I'll let you know which element I want to look into further. And I'm like, yeah, cool. So I put together an email, which I've now created as a template to easily send out for next time this happens. And I know that, you know, I'll put it in my calendar to follow up with her in a week's time, see any questions, have had a chance to look at it, and then see where she's at. Go, all right, is it all right if I give you a call back at end of January or something and see if you've got further questions for me then, or something like that. And, you know, all the conversations I've had all these other, like, you know, 30-minute discovery calls as well with people. And it's not necessarily been the right time then. Sometimes it has been. Yeah, cool, how do we get started? Other times it's cool, all right, well, I just need to look at this and this, or I want to get this sorted out first, and then I'll be in touch. Yep. And so it's a bit of patience goes into both marketing and sales. Mm. And I guess the difference of marketing and sales, marketing, I guess you'd say, is more about the branding and building that more like and trust, whereas the sales is a little bit more of the conversation directly about their needs and solution. Does that kind of make sense?
Yeah. And I also add the word that marketing is more about, marketing's the lead in to a sales type of conversation. Marketing is, generally speaking, in my eyes, at least anyway, building awareness. When I talked about cold calling earlier on, it's kind of like the poor person's, I'm going to build awareness by talking to people real time. There's nothing wrong with that. You just kind of like got to frame it correctly.
Yeah. And usually if I get a cold call myself and I do actually answer it, because I don't always answer them.
Yeah, that's fair.
Usually it is, can you send me an email? I want to be able to digest this in my own time and then look at their website and then kind of might follow it for a little bit. And and based on how I felt in that conversation too, if I didn't feel pressured or anything like that, then I'm more likely to research into it rather than just say I will and not. I had that recently, and it just left a bit of taste in my mouth when he just was a bit arrogant. I'm like, okay, well, I'll look into it. No, I'm not.
It happens. Yeah.
So it's all just wrong, I guess, sales strategy, but the conversation. So when it comes to the sales process, from your experience, what are some of the typical mistakes small business owners make?
And I like the question, and I'm just going to try to break it down, because it's actually, without waffling on for too long, this is part of the strategy and this can take up a whole session in itself. So the first thing is, when you're building up a business, cash flow is king, right? You want revenue. And what I say to a lot of businesses, and I've kind of got a few whiteboards around the room that you see me here, but it's behind the camera. And the one phrase is, and I'm going to explain myself in a sec because some people are going to think, how damn inappropriate is that? First phrase, always be closing. The second phrase is sales above all else. Okay, now, here's the key thing. You have to professionally and ethically do business with individuals. If you think sales above all else and everybody is just a sale, then that is not business development. And that happens in the industry. Like that's okay. That, in some circles, that kind of works. But that's effectively, I'm going to sell you something. I'm going to give you the product. I'm going to give you a receipt and I'm off to the next sale. But in my world, which is predominantly B2B, when I talked about business development, there is going to be someone that's going to help with delivery. So it's like, I am responsible for setting up the commercial arrangement for you that meets your requirements. I'll be involved later on, but there is a more experienced individual or team that will help with delivery. So what I was saying there is definitely from a business development perspective, you should always be thinking sales above all else. Always have pipeline leads, always have opportunities, always be talking to people in your market, the right people. Always be measuring and monitoring yourself as to how you're going with the conversion. The conversion is getting a signed agreement, for example, or getting a purchase order. Because if you don't have those things in place, then to answer your question now, the mistakes is we get a bit desperate. I kind of been there a few times before when I was starting the business. It was kind of like, you got nothing. So where the hell are you going to get business from? All right. I sent out a bunch of cold email. There's a confronting way. Cold calling is nothing in comparison to cold email because you're sending unsolicited mail to people, right? The number of F-offs that I was getting was kind of like off the charts.
Oh, no.
So I didn't do it forever, but it kind of got things spinning up. So mistakes, you get desperate, right? You do incorrect or inappropriate things to your market. You attempt to, what we say a lot in LinkedIn, because we kind of do this accidentally or others do this all the time, trying to get married on the first date. And I do say to clients that it's really funny, and I'm not trying to be inappropriate, but the world of developing business and selling is a little almost like the dating game. There are analogies to how that process goes. But people go, like the cold call thing, like you were saying, hey, Perry, I've got something. I want to talk to you about it. You know, I want to demo it. How about we set up a Zoom? And all of a sudden, it's kind of like, blah, 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 this is the price, but today I'll offer it you for this. And it's like, I don't think I'm a buyer. I'm interested, but have I got budget? Do you know that I'm the one that's actually going to buy it? Blah, blah, blah. So the next piece is the mistakes that we make. This is not necessarily because of desperation or doing the wrong things, but I have seen not qualifying properly. Why are we talking? And where is this going to lead? I bang on about Stephen Covey's begin with the end in mind. So why are we here? And what's this potentially going to help you with? And why? Why me? Why now? Why this thing? Right? And then we talked about know you, like you, trust you. So the reality is that this may not be, look, it is possible to do a one call close in some industries, but this may not be possible right now. Send me an email. I'd like a proposal. What's your terms, right? What are the options? How much kind of thing? So to counteract these things, if you had enough conversations with the right people, ACCA pipeline in my world, if you are progressing them to close and converting and your operations or delivery team are doing a good job there and taking care of things, then the reality is it takes the pressure off. And all of a sudden what happens is you're sitting there going, okay, so I've got some conversations going on. I'm probably going to be able to see business this month, this quarter. There are a few things that are kind of go sideways. At Salesforce, we're a month-on-month business. And I was dealing with bigger organizations. It used to bleeping stress me sometimes because it was kind of like, it's not going to happen this month, but it's going to happen this quarter because they're giving me the signs and they're telling me all the language that they want to partner with us or do business this quarter. men
yes, those pipeline. Sales targets, oh my gosh, like you kind of always you're like, oh well, I think if all the potentials say yes, then I'll make this much, but I just don't know. And I remember having to do that and report back going, yeah, this is what I estimate, but it's more just a guesstimate.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, that's some of the key things, right, is just having enough there for you of the right stuff, and it actually takes the pressure off, and then people respect and appreciate that. You don't tell people, it's kind of like, okay, if you don't buy now, that's cool, there's someone else there. That's a little bit like, I don't care about you. Once again, you're just a sale to me. So you don't share that information. But you do actually have to set yourself up for success, because we're dealing with human beings and people change their mind, right? So unexpected circumstances. Okay, what happened to us in March? Unexpected circumstance, right? So you got to kind of have a bit of a war chest for that, and that is in business development. You've got to have the right people, and many of them within reason, to be doing business with.
Yeah, and I also want to bring up as well, I think some people, if they think they don't have the confidence in selling or sales, they may accidentally turn people away who are actually giving them all the buying signals. But they, if their own self-esteem or their own insecurities kind of get in the way, they'll be like, they'll probably start saying, yes, or with the price, for example, quoting the price and kind of mumble it, or say and then start justifying it or something, or say, oh, it might be a bit too expensive for you, but you know, maybe this might be better for you later on, or saying things like that. I think that's a whole other trap, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole lot of different things. You know, the sales thing that you said, I just realized something before. In my early days of working in, it was actually Symantec later, but it was a smaller organization that got acquired by Symantec. And I worked with someone who was of the same age as me, but significantly more experienced. And I remember I must have done something incorrect or something was going sideways. So I was getting coached. It was actually quite good, right? Because I was a little bit more green in terms of business development than this lady. Her name is Susan. And Susan said, you know, there's no selling in any of this. I'm actually showing people what's on offer and what we have provided for other clients. Through that journey, they'll make a choice as to whether that's right or wrong for them. Yes, there are other things to drum up a commercial piece of business. And at the time, I don't think I actually listened to her. It must have been sometime later. I can't remember if it was in the same company that I had an aha moment. And I was like, oh, that's what's meant there. It's kind of like, yeah, you can't force something down someone's throat.
No, not
generally,
at all.
At least anyway.
No, it's all about that, building that relationship with them, and and not being, that's the thing. Don't think you're selling. Think of the need and how you can help them. And the testimonial type thing you were saying, you know, giving the case studies, that's why that's just so powerful, and why, for example, on LinkedIn, whenever I get a new review comes through, I put it in Canva, make it pretty, and I share it. And don't be afraid to share that, because you should be proud of those moments. And that is so much more powerful than you trying to sell to someone, because it's a third party selling you. And so use them. don't be like, oh, how does this, if I push this out there, I think it's probably the Australian New Zealand mindset. What will people think of me if I'm pushing out all these reviews? Well, for one thing, you can find them on Google if they're Google reviews. You should be celebrating these moments, and there may be someone sitting on the fence right now, and they'll see that review and it's from someone in the same industry, or they personally know them, and that could just be the one thing that pushes them over that fence.
Too true. Thank you.
And okay, so the issues that you kind of mentioned, is there an easy fix? Is it just a matter of sitting down doing some training for a couple of days? Is it something that needs to be ongoing? You said there's been a mindset involved in that. I know that's a very loaded question, but how can someone go to improve their sales strategy to get more conversions ultimately?
I would say that There are some things, and I'm about to make mention of them in a sec. There are some things that you probably classify as easy fixes or easy changes to your method and your process, but you can't do it all in one go. Part of it is because we're humans and we kind of get into a habit or a system or a process because it's comfortable or this is the way we do things. And to change it means that, well, what am I? I'm reading right now Psycho-Cybernetics, right, by Maxwell Maltz. And there's certain things that are statements that it will take 21 days to make these changes, roughly 3 weeks. I actually used to say about a month. And I think he's kind of right, more on the right side, roughly doing something regularly within the space of about 3 weeks will start to make that habitual. So, easy fix, yeah. In terms of business development, qualify while you're there. Yeah, I said before that I was busy this morning because I was doing a workshop, and one of the people that's engaging with clients for this client of mine, for this firm, is the front face of some of the inbound calls. So she's not doing outbound, that's other people in the business. And she's actually not starting the call because I told you they got recordings. And it's like, wow, you got recordings for all of these. And they're kind of going through them. And I said, okay, we have to ask, why are we in this meeting? Why are we on this call? That's actually qualification 101. Because what you're saying to the individual is, I do want to assist you, but why are you spending time with me right now? Because you know what? That person can't articulate it. It's like, why did you call me? What do you want? Right? Do you actually want some assistance with something? Of course, the salesperson is saying, what do you want to buy? But you try not to say that. Now, I rabbit on about a simple method that many people will be familiar with if you've seen it in the industry, and that is BANT. B-A-N-T. B is for budget. A is for authority. N is for need. T is for time frame. I'm sorry, T is for time frame. BANT, and you don't apply them in that order. You kind of use them as required. But BANT, and you may not actually get them all out in the first meeting. And if you ask them in the wrong way, you can actually rub people up the wrong way as well. So you kind of like just got to use your own personality in terms of how you get that out. Now, if I said before qualifying and why you're on this call, surprise, surprise, you're actually asking need first, right? So it's like, what's your need? What's your problem? What's your challenge? Remember the why do people buy? Because they want to take themselves from one situation to another. Well, they've actually defined a need. I need a new car because my current one is crap and keeps breaking down. Now, a few other easy fixes. And I didn't realize this until I kind of like had this business because I've met and dealt with so many more businesses. You've got to know your audience and you've got to know how to listen, understand them and communicate to them about what they want. And this actually comes down to the fact that sometimes in terms of developing business, you've got to be a good listener and you've got to articulate, sometimes repeating back to them in their words, how your firm, your business or you may be able to assist them. And if you can fix that, then you remember before, because you and I both said, know you, like you, trust you. If you can kind of get someone to realize that you're listening, you're attentive, and we're selfish human beings. What's in it for me? It's all about me. Are you listening to me? Are you actually paying attention to what I want? If you can relay that back, then all of a sudden that person internally goes, I like you. You might be able to... we might be able to work together, or I might be able to use that product, or I might be able to use your company's service. There's a lot more to it, right? So, you know, like we've only got limited time, but that's probably some of the easier or quicker fixes in terms of getting established as to what we're doing and why and how we might be able to assist each other or work together.
Yeah, and I think it's for that reason why the phone is just so powerful with the whole process, because you can connect so much easier than you can via constant messaging on social media or email or whatever. And so, for example, I had on a Facebook group, someone asked for a copywriter, someone tagged me. I reply, going, hey, here's a link to my portfolio. They've sent me an email, which they've obviously sent to multiple people, and I'm going to pick up the phone. So I'll probably do it after this recording, actually. I'll pick up the phone and I'll reach out to them because nice. I know that does a couple of things. So one, it's I can really understand their needs beyond what they've just written or what they think their needs are. And sometimes it goes a lot deeper. So for example, like the why is it so important to update the website now, etc. And also it's amazing for building that rapport and just seeing if they actually connect with you. And usually when I pick up the phone, if it doesn't go ahead, it's usually the budget or they claim a budget, and maybe it's something else in my sales strategy. My sales tactics haven't been the best, mm-hmm. but quite often it's the budget or the timing's not right. Otherwise, yeah. in most instances, they connect with me, and if they're actually in the selling mindset and ready right now, they'll see the value and go ahead. So I just always pick up the phone. When I used to have with the copywriting business directory and a listing came, a job directory, and people would list jobs and I would apply. I would always apply by phone call. And if I didn't have their number, I actually tried a couple of times doing a little video and sending it to them with my pitch. And it just the impact was just so much. There was one person, for example, who she told me she was bombarded with emails, but I was one of two people who called, and I jumped to the top of the queue. And ironically, she didn't go ahead of me at the time. She went with someone else. But 3 months later, she did come back to me because they didn't do the best job. And it was almost like a crawling back going, can you fix this? I wasn't happy what they did. But yeah, I've just found the phone very effective. And I guess for your perspective, we'll love this, apart from phone, would face-to-face be the next best, or also using social media, email? What kind of, do you use a mixture of all different sales methods or one more than the other?
I use one more than the other, but I actually am a big believer of, I actually call it the Parthenon model, right? So Parthenon is the temple on top of the Acropolis in Greece. And I'm Greek background, so this is kind of like partly coincidental and something that I've just like, cottoned onto. And the Parthenon model is, because it's got multiple pillars within your strategy of developing business, you've got to have multiple ways of engaging with your audience. Now, as a marketeer, guess what? If you're generating awareness, you can't just stick to one channel. Oh, I'll create an awesome website and I'll just hope that people are going to come to that website. No, it ain't. No one's going to watch your website. In fact, no one even knows you exist. So then you've got to drive traffic. You've got to have stuff on LinkedIn, on Facebook, right? You might even have to have AdWords, blah, blah, blah. Now, the selling thing. You talked about phone. I'm a big believer of the phone. Where is it? I'm just going to pick it up for a sec.
Yeah.
Right? I'll give you an anecdote in a sec, but people hide behind email and social, right? Now, this is my mentor. I'm going to not use offensive language. Pick up the effing phone and call someone. And you know what? If you've scripted it out and you're professional and you're comfortable with the way that you're speaking, it cuts through the noise and it works because it's human to human engagement. Then you said face to face. Yeah, okay. We're right now, when we're recording this, we're in a situation where sometimes face to face is not always possible. But I'm a big believer, and I come from a school of face to face. In fact, these days, more appropriately, why are we catching up face to face? So we're not going to waste each other and actually go to each other's office and book a meeting room and go through the rigmarole of, hello, how are you doing? Like, let's sit down and kick up the projector or plug into the TV screen. But yes, face-to-face works even better. And for some businesses where it's not just a transactional deal with low dollars, but there's it's my ex world is enterprise deals. They're spending hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars. They need to get to know you and they need to see you and your team many, many times. So face-to-face would work very, very well. So I would kind of say that appeal to the human side of the individual that you're speaking to. Okay, cold calling is not for everyone, and there are certain individuals that you're going to call up. And I'm not just talking about cold calling all the time, but there are certain individuals that just won't appreciate it and don't want to interact with you on the phone. Send me a text, ping me on whatever social channel that we're connected to. And that's okay. but you actually hit it in one. When it comes to defining why we're potentially going to keep talking, not buy, but potentially keep talking, you need to cut through the noise. And it's either going to be on the phone or we need to catch up in person, because we're people, we're humans.
I agree. I agree with that. And I think you're right. Like in recent, like this year, we've definitely learned how to reassess, do I actually need to physically see you, or is a Zoom chat? I mean, look, even Zoom has been better. It's even better than the phone, obviously. So maybe phone, Zoom, face-to-face. But I think, I know I was guilty of it, you know, last year, for example, having too many coffee catch-ups just because I was asked, hey, let's catch up for coffee. And then it just kind of, quite often there was no set agenda and just time was wasted. Whereas I think now we're a bit more conscious of that, going, all right. And I guess it's just a matter of working out before you have that chat, that agenda. So working out, all right, well, let's get your input. So if you have initial conversation with someone, and I know you gave me a little brief demo, it's basically the needs analysis is the very first thing, isn't it? And then what are the next steps of like an ideal sales pitch or strategy?
So you're right. The needs analysis is there. Now, you heard me say before, begin with the end in mind. So it's usually, why are we actually talking and what could this do for you ultimately? And then, of course, the thing that they teach salespeople generally is be inquisitive. Always ask why. You know, so why are we here? Because I'm looking to take on a company that can do ABC. Oh, great. Okay. Why? Oh, because at the moment we don't have a product that does ABC. Oh, cool. All right. Well, I'm so glad that you actually reached out to me. But before we even got to talking, why did you not even have ABC in your organization? Like, what were you doing it yourself? Did you employ a team? Oh, no. You know what? We've been talking about this for the last 2 years and all of a sudden now it's a priority. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Hang on. And now it's a priority? Why is it a priority right now? Do you hear me? Why? 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 Now, by the way, we're just talking together. There are going to be some individuals where you keep talking like that and everyone's going to go, all right, enough of the questions. What can you do for me? So you kind of like got to be careful. But the sales strategy is, where do we think this could end up? Even just right now, we're in a triage. We're in a discovery call with an individual. We've assessed and qualified that we should keep talking. But that should keep talking might be, I need to demo to you. I need to give you a pitch. I need to send you a proposal and explain the proposal. You're ready to purchase and I'm going to give you our contract or terms or agreement and we're going to talk through that. So there are certain steps and each of them kind of fulfill, why are we here? What are we going to get from it? What are your other options? Is the BANT thing, is the timing still in place? Why is the timing still in place? So once again, me saying, and I'm sorry that I'm a bit of a broken record, there's a whole podcast and course in how that sales method and process goes on. But yeah, define why we're here and what could that do for you? And is this the right fit? And should we keep talking? And that actually is sales 101, is have I helped you? Do you think we're ready to progress to the next stage? What could that next stage be? Knowing that if it's kind of lining up, sorry, Leanne, if you're lining up, you'll somehow have a commercial arrangement and do business together. Okay, I'm done now.
No, I love it. No, I was just going to say, like if you've got all that down and then when it comes to objection handling, you can just go back, but they go, oh, I have to think about it, I'll do some research. And then you can go back going, all right, but you said this is a priority and you've already looked into a couple other people. So what is there anything else I haven't answered or something like that? So you have that groundwork that you can then use as a basis to refer back to. So I do like that. And I wanted to ask you as well. So I have a Calendly link for booking like discovery calls, for example.
Yeah.
So that'd be a great opportunity to, I mean, I've already asked, you know, what type of thing you want to explore, blah, blah, but I'm actually feeling I should change the questions a little bit to saying like, what's your biggest challenge right now? Why are you reaching out to me now? That type of thing. Do you think that's worthwhile, like in that, because it is like qualifying and then I could go deeper into that in the conversation when we actually have the chat?
Yeah, I'm going to say yes to it. And maybe this is just me because I do so much with B2B. B2B potentially are some organizations and some executives that I deal with are time poor, and they, if the form is a little bit too overbearing, as in a few too many questions, it doesn't get filled in. And then, of course, I get an email going, how about 10 a.m. Tuesday, Perry? I just don't want to fill in the form. Just tell me if you're free at 10 a.m. Tuesday.
You have no idea who they are or what the background is. Or
I kind of know that we're talking, right? But they just don't want to fill it in. So I think I heard you say this in a slightly different language, and that is, what is the imperative for us getting on the call? I.e., you're actually asking the need question. What do you need to achieve so I can help you effectively in the initial part of the meeting or the call? Then everything else might be a nice to have, right? Once again, the workshop this morning, right? They actually have this administrator going through a form, and in the recordings, I can hear her going through each question and pausing and typing it down. And I said, all right, homework for next week. Imagine you're talking to a CEO and he's got ADHD and you literally got 3 to 5 minutes, and he's going to can you if you don't get to the chase. So first two questions, maybe three, you must ask until the guy hangs up on you. And that was me. I set up CIO, CEO meetings in my previous roles, and I used to sit there or go in with a sales director and say, this could end in 5 minutes. So we kind of got to cut to the chase. And some CEOs would appreciate the fact that we were no bullshit kind of situation. Not, hi, how are you? I saw you in the media. I was in the lovely day. Because they'll sit there and pick up their phone and think, okay, I'm going to text my EA and say something urgent has come in and get pulled out of this meeting. And I've seen that happen too.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, cut to the chase. Yeah. Okay, so just before we finish up, what are some actions our listeners can immediately take away today? So, apart from pick up the phone, is there anything else? And with the goal in mind and a couple of other mantras you've said, anything else I can do to start improving the sales today?
Yes, you saw me kind of like thinking just then. There's so many things that we could talk about. And I'm going to say to you that, especially if they're clients of yours, Leanne, or they're kind of generating their own new business, is just make sure that you're attentive to why that conversation. I say qualify often. Sorry, I'll just say that again, it didn't come out right. Qualify often. I say you should keep asking the question. So if there's an immediate change, is keep assessing why the discussion or the engagement is happening. Why are we on this meeting? Why are we on this call? And do that often within reason and professionally, and make sure that you've got enough individuals that you're speaking to. If it's B2B, are you engaging enough companies? If it's B2C, because B2B is actually person to person at the end of the day, if it's B2C, are you engaging enough individuals or getting them to come to you with inquiries? Because like I said, everybody at some stage is going to be a buyer. If an individual, like a CEO in my world, B2B, is taking time out to meet with me, then I know your time is valuable. You're running a business, right? Potentially your diary is as manic as mine. So why have you given me 60 seconds to 2 minutes right now? I can keep them there for 30, 40, 50 minutes if we're on point. And they can see that this might lead somewhere. But if it's not right, we're out of here. So immediate improvement is ask why we're here and what we can do to keep this discussion going, right? And then have enough of those, right? Because we're dealing with humans and things are kind of going to go sideways and things are going to change. And if you do that, I actually think that there are going to be other things that you're going to face, things will start to improve because you'll feel good about where you're moving your business to.
Yeah, I love that. And it's true because my discovery calls just go, oh, so tell me about you. But I should start with, so why are we having this call? And actually just rephrase it a little bit. And then because sometimes if they booked it in a week ago or something, they may not remember. I have to kind of, let's just go back to that and make it top of mind again. So
I can help you with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry to interrupt you because that happens to me sometimes. I try not, my Calendly tries to only allow about a few days. And also because there are other things going on. And some people go, I can't meet up in the 3 days that I can see, 4 days I can see, it's got to be a week out. And then that happens. I can't remember. We're connected on LinkedIn, right? I don't know. So what I do is, my little bit of prep, this hack, is I remind them in a succinct sentence, this is what we originally were talking. So you and I, when we first engaged on LinkedIn, this is the stuff that we exchanged. Why are you still on the, in this meeting? What was front of mind from that conversation? And then 99% of the time, you see in their eyes, they have an aha moment. It's like, oh, yeah. So what I need is, my business is missing ABC. When you put out that meeting, I thought, I wonder if you can help me with ABC. And I go, cool. So that's what you're thinking. By the way, qualify often. I don't answer the question then and there. I now lead into other hey, John, do you mind if I ask a few more questions? Because yes. I want to give you the right frame of reference for the answer.
And they feel like, you know, you care then. It's not just, oh I'll just go into my spiel. Hang on. Yeah, no, yeah. I 100% agree with that. Mm-hmm. And so, no, I've loved our chat and time's just flown, which is, I know, like, we'll have to set up another episode later on about more like cold calling or another topic, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But how, I always ask my guests this, how do you manage your health and wellness, Perry?
Oh, that's a topic close to my heart, okay, because I'm a little bit of a health junkie. So I run and swim daily, rain, hail or shine, in the wee hours of the morning in Coogee Beach in Sydney. So it's something that is a go-to for me. It clears the mind. It's a beautiful way to start the day. If it was a little bit like today, it was a beautiful sunny day after several days of rain. Now, I'm also a bit of a health junkie. So I eat well, I sleep as well as I can, and I've always got a positive, happy attitude. But that all sounds cliche and awesome. On the weekend, I enjoy myself. You only live once, so you make the most of your downtime with family and friends. And okay, we can't go that much to gigs and pubs and rock concerts and all that kind of stuff, but there's also a side of me where it's kind of like, enjoy your life, because tomorrow the proverbial bus might run you over.
Yes. Well, hopefully it doesn't. But yeah, I love that. And I went for a run this morning, and it really woke me up and to have that the beautiful weather again after the miserable week of rain. Yes. And so, how can people connect with you?
My LinkedIn profile is the best place to engage with me. And if there's a place on the pages where this is posted, we'll be able to put that in. Now, we've been talking about the phone. I'm big on contact me via email, and you can see that on my LinkedIn profile, or call me. I love it when people call. So don't be shy. Leave a voicemail if I don't, because sometimes I'm in these kind of meetings and workshops with clients. But connect with me on LinkedIn. Explain a little bit about why you've connected, because I get some people that just hit connect and then I don't know who they are. And then I kind of think, doesn't kind of make sense. But if it's kind of like, I saw you on Leanne's podcast and I love what you say, or I thought we'd just connect, then it gives me a little bit of frame of reference.
Yeah, brilliant. I agree. And so, yeah, thank you so much for sharing all that amazing advice today. Taking lots of notes, I'm sure our listeners are too. And thank you to you, dear listener, for tuning in. You can find show notes to the episode at marketingandme.com.au. And if you enjoyed listening, which I hope you did, please subscribe and leave me a rating and a review via your podcast app or at ratethispodcast.com/marketingandme. And if you're interested in connecting with me, feel free to reach out via LinkedIn. Just search for Leanne Shelton. And yes, leave me a message to let me know you heard me on the podcast. And if you want to learn more about generating leads or outsourcing your copywriting to me, head to my website, righttimemarketing.com.au, and book in a free 30-minute discovery call. Until next time, I wish you good health and good wealth.